Transition. All right, we're live.
Good morning.
Connor, nice work.
Just in time.
You came in under the wire. I need you to move this way a little bit. That's perfect. Everybody, don't move, guys.
Okay.
Perfect. Everybody's ready. GloucesterCast 376. I'm a little tense this morning, I'm not going to lie.
No, we didn't notice it at all.
Get some feedback. So you're the guy who calls into the radio station and likes to keep their radio on behind
him. I touched my phone. It wasn't me. It was fine until then.
It was me. Dude, GloucesterCast 376 is January 19th, 2020. We got a packed house today.
Packed.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Nine. Did I count that right? Nine of us.
Give or take.
We're going to go around and do introductions.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, KPN. And happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yay! We're going to talk about that, actually.
We are going to talk about that.
Good morning, Gloucester. Connor McCarthy. Not to be mistaken by Connor McGregor.
But, but you got here in 40 seconds like he did. So
no problem. Hey, nice one.
Ken Real, KPN Chamber of Commerce. We're thrilled to be back. Good morning, Joey.
Carrie McKenna, KPN Chamber of Commerce. Good morning.
Virgin? Podcast virgin?
Broadcast virgin. Not a Good Morning Gloucester virgin, but a broadcast virgin.
Here. Broadcast virgin.
Tony Sapienza, one of the co-owners of the Blue Shutters Beachside Inn and a newly minted president of the KPN Chamber of Commerce.
Newly minted. Show everyone your tattoo.
Good.
Good morning, Gloucester. Jim D.
Get half of your face right now. If you squeeze in a little more, we'll get all of it.
It's my best
That's
side.
Okay. That's right.
Pull your chair in.
Yes, dear.
Pat Dalpias, good morning.
Off camera.
On the keyboard.
Good morning, Gloucester.
And Kim Smith, and I'm your host, Joey Shimatao. We got a lot to talk about today, but Chris and I had the privilege of being invited to the KPN Chamber ribbon cutting ceremony at Studio 1623 and at Business After Hours. And you guys put on... Well, between the two of you, between Studio 1623 and the Chamber, you guys put on quite an event.
Amazing. And the clock goes to you guys.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah, very nice.
It was awesome.
Kudos to Eric Archer. I mean, what he's done over there and his team with that new space on Pleasant Street, right across from Bank Gloucester, that place is incredible.
Yeah, and the location is neat.
I don't think there's a more modern, sophisticated space in this city right now. Mm.
Other than this office.
Yeah. Such character. That's what we love about this.
It's very cool. I love the front recording studio is fantastic.
Yeah, well,
with a view of City Hall. You sit there and you're looking out at City Hall. It's just beautiful.
And we use our little on-air sign that, like, people walking by and everybody cranes their neck looking in there.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Yeah, we have a blast there. But why don't you speak, I don't know which one of you guys wants to speak to that event, though, like, and what it was all about. And first of all, I want to give a shout-out to my favorite part of the whole event.
Yeah.
Willow Rest did the catering.
Of course.
And it was outrageous.
She's incredible, Melissa, with her talents and what she can do in a little space like that. You're actually cooking back there in the conference room.
Yeah.
Joe and I found that spot. So we hung out right by the door where they were walking out.
Right.
The
first dibs on everything coming by.
Well, okay, wait. I'm going to ask Kim, what is my MO at public events with food?
Well, we always discuss people who just come to events to eat.
Right.
And was that you?
Well, here's the thing. That wasn't the case going in, but it certainly was the case going out. Because, I normally don't eat at public events because I'm conscious because we've had plenty of events where people just come in and eat and don't socialize with anybody. The food was so good. I had one thing on that passed by me and I couldn't stop after it.
The lamb
ice cream cone.
I find it difficult when you're at an event talking to people and then if you're eating then you're like, oh, do I have lettuce stuck to my chin?
Yeah.
Am I talking to them?
Exactly.
And there are crumbs all over my face.
Am I going to spit out a piece of food at somebody and land on their cheek?
Well, we had a blast, though.
There were a lot of people there.
There was a big crowd. It was like a who's who. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there was that guy that was doing the performance art.
Yeah. Yeah. That was pretty neat.
Mike Grimaldi?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's from Gloucester. He lives in He said Beverly now, but he's a Gloucester boy.
Yeah. I had never seen anything like that. He was drawing with markers or
and then but you could turn the it was a multi-dimensional piece of art of painting as he turned it. Mm-hmm. It was still a painting.
Right. And you guys gave that away to someone.
Yeah, that was a nice door prize.
Door prize.
And then
that was Eric's idea. It was Eric Archer.
Yeah, that was fun. Then he had the DJ set up.
DJ.
And you know what was cool about you know what I loved about that DJ? It wasn't all old fuddy-duddy music. He was playing like it went with the theme of that space. That space is modern, it's hip, and it's functional, and that music was modern and hip. Yeah. Connor, as a millennial, you would have appreciated this. a lot of these things, but the chamber is you're looking for younger members. You want, absolutely, and this. You know, if you were a millennial, if you were any age, would have had a blast at that event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Eric comes from a very artistic family.
Eric Archer,
His mom is Kathleen Archer.
Had a lot to do with
the founding of the Rocky Neck Art Cal, purchasing the building for the Rocky Neck Art Center. So, really fantastic family.
Yeah.
Yeah, kudos to the designer, too, Martha Sutek, who really put all of that together with Eric and his team. She did a wonderful job. And you're going to hear more about Martha in the not too distant future.
Does she have a local business here?
She does, yep. She's got a small business, and she works with realtors and other organizations locally in the design space.
Oh, great.
She also worked for the Gloucester Stage, I think, too, did some of the production.
She did a little bit there as well. Exactly right. Yeah.
She's great. That was as you can see from the studios.
Yeah, as we can see,
So could we get a chamber update?
So we go from that fantastic kickoff to our big opening event of the year, and that is our annual celebration where we will be welcoming in all of our business members to launch the new year and welcome our incoming president, Tony Sapienza.
Tony Sapienza.
So happy that Tony is here today.
Tony.
And I'd like to have Tony say a few words, a little bit about your background. And that's going to be at the Elks this year. So we're mixing it up and going to go to that beautiful venue. That's Saturday at 6 o'clock. And we do have a few tickets left. If anybody would like to join us, we're closing registration early this week.
Well, I need to be giving them a count actually on Tuesday. So.
Okay. So not too late, but contact us. We'd love to have a few more people there.
I'm sorry. I think I would like to go.
That's terrific, Kim. We'd love to have you.
I think
that's
wonderful. Really like to go.
And the DJ Scotty Mack.
Oh yeah, it'll be a fun time.
We got Scotty coming in. That's going to be wonderful.
Nice.
And at that event, we will have a very big announcement, and so we're looking forward to making that announcement on Saturday. So you hear more about that. Why don't I turn it over to you, Tony?
I'm looking forward to it. So I'm looking forward to whoever can join us. It's going to be fantastic. It'll be a fun time. And it's going to be, you know, I think it's really interesting. The Chamber has been through the past couple of years, has been done some phenomenal stuff. And you're going to see it all come together at this celebration on Saturday, the 25th, at the Elks. You know, my ascension to the presidency is part of this, but it's a minor part of it, actually. Been part of the Chamber now for about 5 years. Well, we've been members of the Chamber. I should step back. As I mentioned earlier, I'm one of the co-owners of the Blue Shutters Beachside Inn. My wife and I moved up here in 2004. We raised our kids in Burlington. I came from Stoneham. But early in our time together, and even as a child, Cape Ann was always a great destination for us. Yeah. And like so many other people, we always says, wow, when can we come and live and work here on Cape Ann. So we were lucky enough to make that happen, like I said, about 15, 20 years ago. And the Blue Shutters has been fantastic. You meet such great people, not only visitors to the community who, we love to see them enjoy Cape Ann as much as they do, but also being part of, the community of Cape Ann itself. So joined the board for the Chamber about 5 years ago, and now as president, I feel very, very fortunate. We're just doing some great things in the community, and like I said, I think next Saturday you'll get a good sense of just how this is all coming together.
Yeah. Wow. Tony also chairs our tourism council, which is such a big part now.
We work hard to try to get people here 12 months out of the year. We know how fantastic, I'm on Good Harbor Beach. I know how fantastic it is in the summer on Good Harbor Beach.
Yeah.
I mean, on Cape Ann.
Good Harbor Beach is so beautiful in the winter time.
It is, exactly. And that's the point. We, there's so much to do here. I mean, what we saw at 1623, I don't know how many people we had there, but it was...
I counted about 300.
Yeah, such a crowd. That's I will tell you something else, too.
I was thinking more like 5,000.
Now it's starting to
sound news.
Yeah, it's not like Donald Trump, you know?
I was thinking that.
Careful.
Yeah, I know.
But
this is not a political show.
last Saturday, my wife and I went out to get a quick bite, sit at the bar. We couldn't find a seat. I mean, It was every... restaurant we went to, every bar we went to was packed. And that's a great, great sign. Yeah. So as head of the Tourism Council, we're working to try to spread that word about how phenomenal Cape Inn is 12 months out of the year.
Is the Blue Shutters open all year round?
We absolutely are. Wow. It's quiet right now. We've got a couple of people in, but I'd love to fill the place.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, want to know it's a great time to go visit the Blue Shutter Inn? When there's an upcoming storm. Because the views of the beach and the waves and everything, it's phenomenal.
We have a woman from Northampton, Mass, who said who wants us to call her when a storm is coming, so she can come out here just to see it.
Unbelievable vantage point.
Well, I have to tell you this: some of our Piping Plover volunteers, who are from out of town, they were staying at the Blue Shutters this at the end of the summer because they wanted to be close to the birds.
Like wake up and trot right down.
And just right.
We have people from Salem, Mass, who come and stay with us because they want to get up early in the morning and witness the sunrise and things like that. But it's great. Anybody who is interested in what we're talking about, stop by anytime. We're always there. We'd love to have you.
Great.
Yeah, that's great.
There you go. Kerry, you want to do some updates with what's coming up?
Sure. So we've got the annual dinner and a few tickets left for that, but that's kind of, I need to know by the middle of the week, certainly. Then the next week we've got a QuickBooks seminar, something that we do every year. We do it over at the high school. It's the online version, and it's really meant to be a refresher. It's not for a beginner. It's meant to be more of a refresher course. It's over two nights. So that's next week. We've pretty much kicked off all of our committees and councils for the year, getting all of the major events planned. February we'll be in Essex for our business after hours. We have our annual Business Women's Kickoff Mixer at the Crow's Nest on the 27th.
At the Nest.
Nice.
At the Nest.
Nice.
I think this is the fourth year we've done it. Third or fourth. I think it's the fourth. And we get, 2 years ago, it was an ice storm. It was like slushy ice rain. Yeah. It was a mess. We had close to 100 women there.
So wow.
It's a great time. The Nest is, people don't realize it's a great, great spot.
And if the guys want to hang out at the bar beforehand and they just happen to be there when all the ladies come in.
Well, you know what? It's funny because there's two lines of thought there. There are some guys that they see us coming in, they get up and they leave. And there's this other guy that sits there and he's like, this is the best day of my life.
I'll tell you, we send visitors there from the Blue Shutters. He says, you got to go to the Crow's Nest. And they go, well, really? I don't know about this. The Crow's Nest. He says, no, believe.
Friendly.
They come back and they're beside themselves.
Absolutely. Yeah, no.
And Marianne does all the cooking for that night. And she puts a cover over the pool table and it's just a spread of delicious. It's really fun. So yeah, that's kind of a highlight. And for that, we're doing a clothing drive for Wellspring House. They have the awesome closet there where they collect clothing for their clients to shop for free for clothing that's appropriate to go interviewing or going back to work. And we basically fill their closet every year that we do this. This will be the third year that we've done this.
That's an amazing thing that they have.
It's very cool. And we're also different this year. We are partnering with the Beverly Chambers Business Women's Group. They had contacted us and they were wondering if there's a way that we could collaborate on something. And so I threw this out there and it was pretty much an immediate response of yes. The Beverly ladies are in. So that's February. In March, we've got the Economic Forecast Breakfast. We've got James Brett will be speaking. He's the CEO of New England Council. He'll be there. That's the first week. We've got the birding boat trip that we hope the lovely Kim Smith will be joining us.
I'm planning on it.
You went out last year, yes?
Well, no. Because it was canceled. It was canceled, weather,
and then I couldn't, I think I was in Mexico when the makeup trip.
Nice day, too.
Yeah. Also in March, we've got the College Career Fair that will be happening and the Irish Sweepstakes.
That's always fun.
What is that?
That's the tickets they sell for, we sell tickets for $100. We give away, is it 25,000?
Oh,
we
give
away
half,
so it's 20,000 total.
Nice. Yeah.
And you get an Irish dinner and the whole bit.
It is a big night. It's standing room only at the Gloucester House.
Wow. Yeah, we went last year. Yes. Joe lost the ticket, the other end of the ticket, and we won and we didn't get the money.
There you go.
He lost the ticket.
Yeah, happened to me.
He did lose the ticket.
He's terrible. You really are terrible.
Kerry, I know it's 2020, but briefly, how did the plates do for 2019?
Oh, very well. How much?
Thanks for bringing that up, Jimmy. The plates are managed again by a separate organization that the chamber founded. It's called Cape Ann Community Foundation. And last year, the foundation let $15,000 in grants and also some funding to Rockport High School last year. So total to date is almost $40,000 over the last 3 years. And so the grant money is increasing because the number of plates that are on the road are increasing. And so we encourage...
You get money every couple of years from
The registration fees.
Wow. So every month, actually, as people renew and as people buy new plates, there's a check that basically goes into the foundation's bank account, and then the board gets together once a year and looks at applications that come in through a grant process and determines how that money should be let in that particular year. And we've awarded about 20 different nonprofits and schools almost $40,000. It's really a wonderful way to
That's
get back
tremendous.
To Cape Ann.
Mm. Are there still low numbers available?
Well, so good question. The board held back the first 100 numbers, and we've had two online auctions, and so we have about half of those low numbers, less than 100, available, and they have minimum bids on them. And so the lowest minimum bid is $1,000. So if you want license plate number 67 as an example, it would cost, the minimum bid would be $1,000. And if nobody else bids, you can have that number. So yes, there'll be another online low number plate auction this summer, probably in the August timeframe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thanks for asking, Jimmy. It's great.
Jimmy's adds a lot of value to it.
he can stay.
It's like the Ed McMahon of this.
Let it go. Jimmy and Pat are unsung heroes around here. They really are unsung heroes.
Pat, are you being quiet because you were over there typing?
We do have a couple of comments regarding the sound level, and I think it maybe you want to explain about not using the mics today. Just a couple people are mentioning, and remind everybody to speak up.
Yeah, thank you for that. No, I just actually bumped up some of the levels.
Okay, good.
So I think we should be good.
Okay, good.
So there's that. Do you guys have anything else you want to add? Because I know you had some place you had to be.
We do. Yep, those are the highlights. I want to see if you guys have anything else. We good?
No, I think that's it. It's going to be a great year. It's going to be a big year, I'll tell you. It's amazing to see the role that the chamber has in the community. It keeps getting better and better and better.
I think it's wonderful. Every time you turn around, you see the chamber doing something great.
Yeah, thanks, Kim. We're really trying to get out there in that way.
I don't know if you guys are at liberty to share, but that old Papagino's location, any word on what's going on there? Would you guys know that?
No, I've heard some rumors, but nothing definite.
No. Okay. Just curious.
Well, thanks for coming in, guys.
Thank you all. Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. We'll
Did Cameron's come down?
Cameron's is coming down.
Right, yeah.
Cameron's is coming down.
Yeah.
Okay, Connie, you can move up to the big stage. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
Nice to see you again.
Bye.
All right. We'll see you guys.
Your sister would like to know what you're cooking for dinner because she's exhausted today.
Well,
pasta.
No, well, we had something that we started working on yesterday at 1 o'clock for some special chili.
Oh.
That I was going to smoke brisket chili, but Chris burnt it, so so we're fucked.
Well, he puts me in charge of his brisket. I'm moving in, and I don't have other stuff to do, and I totally. Space.
Totally forgot, right?
And the thing turned into a raisin.
So how is your new house? How's your new house?
New house is great. We're probably 75% moved in, still some stuff.
Yeah, he had a lot of help.
A lot of help. Connor came home from DC to help. He did an unbelievable job sitting on the couch and watching us move.
I had to be a supervisor. Somebody has to watch and make sure the practices
are right. Pay attention to what's going on.
He's clearly
breaks
union.
15 minutes. I mean,
he's clearly union.
But he's got the union job.
Appreciate Connor coming home and supervising the job. We couldn't have done it without him.
I'm sure you did more than two.
He must be sore. You must be sore. You.
I am sore. I am sore.
Moving is hell.
Oh, it is.
I never want to move
especially at my age.
But when I was growing up, we moved 14 times in 13 years.
Wow.
Across the country and back.
Oh, my God.
Across the country and back.
That's unheard of.
The only thing that's good for moving is purging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we just did a purge 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But we still filled.
Oh, I have a I have a question for you. Eight purple bags is nothing.
No, I know.
So wait a second. My question is this: when I helped you move on Friday,
yes.
Remember we had this discussion about the suitcases, and you had to borrow a suitcase from Mia because you didn't have a suitcase. But when you were emptying out your attic, there was about 10 suitcases that you passed down to me empty.
Wait, how do you know they're empty?
Because I handled them.
There could have been body parts in there or something, you know.
I think it was the size.
Me and Peter just specifically.
Charlene was looking for a specific size. I don't know. Charlene is the one who reached out to Kate and asked. I didn't make the request.
Okay.
Did I?
I don't know. All I know is I had to give one of my you know, I had my
ask you again.
For a suitcase.
We'll never ask you again.
Your sacred suitcase.
I have a suitcase. You know how I have a suitcase thing.
Well,
I put it in the show notes.
We learned that last week.
I did. I put a thing in the show notes about I did a little research on a tremendous value for a carry-on four-way spinner, $45 on Amazon.
Really?
And it's hard case. Hard case. Yeah.
What color was it? Did you know?
And you can get there's probably 20 different colors you can get, and there's over 3,800 reviews, 5 stars or above.
Wow.
Is it an Amazon brand?
No, it isn't.
Okay.
But the link is in there, so you could just.
The only reason I asked that is because I think it was Costco. They were selling a suitcase, a carry-on, and it was getting all kinds of great reviews, and people were buying them left and right.
Was it that low? Was it $45?
I don't remember it being that low, but it was inexpensive, and it was real popular. People were.
Was it a four-way spinner? Did it have four-way spinners?
I think it was a four-way spinner.
And
this was a couple years ago.
Because I'm always bringing my camera gear, and it needs its own little suitcase.
I know. Well, there's always that balance between. There's the balance between bringing all the gear and being a pain in the ass and just traveling and traveling light.
I'm a pain in the ass.
Yeah, well, I can see that.
Tripod.
I can see that.
Tripod, movie camera, still cameras.
Well, if you're doing but if it's your business, and you're filming a movie in Mexico, I understand that. But if you're going for fun, I mean, every person's different. And that's the whole thing. I'd like to give a shout out, not a shout out, but I'd like to, just to follow up, Tommy Burns is one of our lobstermen, and I've known Tommy, probably since I started coming down the wharf at 9 years old, and he's always been a part of this dock, Captain Joe, so we handle about, 40 lobster boats or whatever, I'm not sure, but Tommy has always been a constant down here. I've basically seen this guy all the time, and he passed away at 78 years old.
Wow.
And his son Cody wrote a really, really great obituary. Wrote the obituary.
Is that in the Daily Times?
It's in the Daily Times. And Tommy was obsessed with schooners, and he was kind of a hoarder, and he also collected vintage outboard motors, like from the 50s and stuff. Very simple outboard motors. And I guess his son was telling me he has like 50 of them.
Wow.
But he also had, like, on his table at the house, he had books from the 20s and earlier, like, stacked up about schooners. He was fascinated with schooners. And his boat was named after a rum runner.
Well, that's so interesting. So what's going to happen to those books?
I don't know what Cody's and Sean, his sons, are going to do with them.
Gee, that'd be fascinating to look at, especially if they have illustrations or photos.
Yes, and I believe that they do. I hope that they go someplace. And I recommended, I told Cody, I said, there are people like Walt Kalenda and David Cox that if they don't know either the value or where to place these things, they will be able to tell you where to go.
I wonder if it would be great if they could, it's a very tricky housing rare and old books. You have to have very climate controlled environment. So, yeah. But it would be great if it could go to Maritime Gloucester for their archives and records.
Yeah. So, well, you know, yeah, I'm not sure what they would be interested in, not if not the Essex Shipbuilding Museum, but like
right.
I think that those places sometimes they, I remember talking to Michael DeCoster, him telling me like how a lot of people like, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's not necessarily like special,
right.
And they just like bring it down there.
It might be special. It might be special to the family,
yeah.
And they're thinking, oh, this would be great. I'm going to go down there. And,
This
would happen a lot when I was working in the library. People would donate things that they needed to get. Mostly, they needed to get rid of.
Right.
And my phrase was always, "You can give it to me if you don't care what I do with it."
Oh, good response.
Yeah, so you don't get freaked out if they
exactly. Yeah. So I could then choose what to do with it.
You know that Enniscum Village, and they have their big Seafair fundraiser. There's signs everywhere. Please don't leave your junk here.
Because
that's what people
especially
do.
Now you have to pay.
Michael DeCoster's thanking you, Kim, for your promo on Maritime Gloucester.
I think rare books about schooners would be. Great.
He's not thanking me for telling people not to bring their junk.
I don't see Joe. I see Kim. There you go. You got your thanks.
He failed me.
Joe, and is there a memorial for Tommy?
Yeah, Thursday at the Emerson Inn in Rockport. I'm gonna put a link to the. I gotta find the link to the obituary that Cody put together for his father. Tom was a very very. There's a lot of people that are kind of like everybody, but Tommy was a very unique guy. Like his knowledge, he could change out an engine or transmission in days, like a day. Like people would go to him for knowledge about engines and transmissions and stuff like that. And
I wonder what it is about 50s motors that was so special.
They were simple.
You didn't need a computer
to operate. They're very straightforward.
Like trying to find
made
a
less quality parts.
Like trying to find a non-computerized washing machine.
Yeah.
Or dryer.
Right. We talk about that all the time. Analog versus digital. Like
analog camera.
Well, anyway, sorry for the loss of your friend Joe.
Cheers,
Tommy.
Here's
to you, Tommy.
Send
more coffee.
Send more lobsters to Gloucester.
So there's that. I would like to mention, we got to get it. We don't have an update on Mom's Kitchen, but we haven't forgot about our friends at Mom's Kitchen. I haven't gone by recently.
We went by this morning.
Okay, give us the update.
Sure. It says, check us out on our website for updates. When you look inside, it's coming along. There's no doubt it's coming along, but you still see... some ladders in there, and you know, they're definitely working on different areas. I have to admit, every time I look in there, there's another section they're working on. It's one section.
It's just like anything. They never, you have a date that you think you're going to move into a house or whatever, and it never really is.
And I'm sure they're chomping to get back too, because you know, they want to talk to their
friends.
We want to
let them know we miss them and everything else. Right now, if you're listening to the podcast, the Sunday Jazz Brunch at Feather and Wedge goes till 2:30. So you can and that is a huge hit every time.
Now that we're doing the live, we can talk about things that are happening today.
That are happening today.
I know, the audio thinking a little bit.
So the live feed is live, obviously. That's what a live stream is. But the audio podcast that people get gets sent out at 8:30 tonight, those people will complain that it was too late. So you can't win.
You can't win.
Ralph is chiming in. Can you see that there, Joe?
Hi, Ralph. We missed you today.
So Ralph has a comment. He says, sorry I couldn't make it this morning. I had to help Charlene unpack. The house is beautiful, and what a big bedroom.
I haven't been in the house 2 days. Thanks for...
Hey, Dad.
Thanks for watching out for Ralph.
Your message.
But now all her bills are your bills.
You do have timing on announcements. You told me that. You said... I can do that.
Oh, goodness gracious. So there's that. I'd like to mention that Pat and I should put, I'm going to change the view here. Pat and I both have our heated vests on. And
you do?
Yeah. And Pat is lit. And
should I just turn mine on?
Yes.
The back and the front. So Pat has hers on green. You can't see her because she's off camera.
Okay.
But you can change it to that's the medium setting.
Right.
And that's the low setting. The low setting will get you like 6 to 10 hours. And just keep a little bit of warmth on you. Mm-hmm. That the red will keep you warm for like 2.5,
it's
3
almost,
hours.
Sometimes, like sitting here, it was a little too warm.
Yeah.
And it says here.
Low, right now, yeah.
Do you have
yeah.
a cord attached to it?
But is that
awesome? Yeah. So yeah. I'm going to demonstrate, because I didn't demonstrate. We mentioned it before, but I didn't demonstrate. So there's a, no, it's on this one. So it comes with a, it doesn't come with
a. So you
with
did
that.
Get the same.
I got the same one as you. So it's a USB charger, and it also has a.
The camera.
Yeah.
The one that's on is right.
Oh, you switched over. I apologize.
So right here, it's a. You can use it to charge your phone as well. Mm-hmm. And it also has a light right there, flashlight.
A little bit of a design flaw, I think, because the USB cable goes here.
Covers it.
And it covers, it covers the button. But you just put it in the other one.
Yeah. Okay. But the battery is very inexpensive. The jacket is not that much money. And it really is. So if you wear a vest like this, and then you wear like a shell over you, and you turn and you put it on like when you're brushing your teeth,
right.
it's warm.
When you're brushing your teeth.
No, like well, before you're gonna leave the house.
I don't wear a vest when I brush my teeth.
Probably
why? Oh, if you're getting ready to leave the house, you put the vest on, you turn it on. You brush your teeth, you go out to your car, and you have a shell on. You're warm.
You're perfect.
By shell, do you mean like a windbreaker, just something not very heavy?
Yeah.
Some people talk about dropping cell phones in the toilet when they're there. I want to know what that battery does.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Boy.
Right.
But it.
And there's my poop story for the day. I'm done.
And it's interesting that only 22% of the people who bought those have actually died through electrocution because the battery has gone haywire. So good luck.
I'll try not to fall into the ocean or something. Yeah,
22%. That's a good odds.
So I gave my review. Let's hear your review.
I see you have a zipper on yours that I don't have on mine here at the top by the control.
Well, you have the woman's version. And I think it's a little more. It's more tapered. I got the fat guy version.
It's really not where I was going with that, but okay. No, I love it. I wear it all the time. I wear it in the house when it's just a little extra. You know, I just need that little extra boost. There was a little bit of a learning curve with the battery because I take the directions really literally, and it says double hit the power button for on off when it really means double hit the power button for off.
Oh.
Yeah. So she kept turning.
So I kept. Yes. Yes. So I kept. Yes.
Well, you'll see the blue light. It'll be lit up blue.
Well, the directions don't. Make that clear.
So do you think they're warmer than like a down vest?
The thing of it is, no. I think a down jacket, if you keep a big, bulky Canada Goose jacket on, you would be warmer.
No, I mean a down vest. You know how you can just wear like a down vest?
No.
No, it's warmer than that?
No.
Oh, okay.
So this is less bulky. You have total freedom.
Freedom.
And then if you put like a light shell over you, that's all you need.
It's just nice to have that heat right there.
Radiates. Right. It radiates on your neck. It radiates on your lower back. It radiates where your hands are.
There are many versions on Amazon.
Yeah.
I got this one because it had heat in the front and the back.
Yeah.
Some of them don't.
Of them have proprietary batteries, and some of them will take, like this battery will charge a laptop. This battery will charge a cell phone.
That's
so
nice.
For travel, it's great.
Do you feel like it's helped your lower back in any way? Just having the warmth?
It probably does a little bit, sure. But stretching for me is the thing for my back.
Yeah.
You're not sacrificing an animal's life this way, either.
Yeah, the Canada Goose people.
Kate took,
so by the way, Kate took her the fur off of her collar on her Canada Goose.
Yeah, a lot of people do that.
Yeah, because she's afraid that some PETA people are going to come after her.
Oh, well, people did do that too.
Come on, man, that's what we've come down to. Yeah.
They she puts it on. She's defiant.
I leave mine on.
I thought it might have something to do with it getting wet and by your face?
No, it's totally, because it's a guilt thing.
Okay.
Right. The fur is really warm around your face. It really helps keep your face warm. So people have been wearing fur since time immemorial to keep warm.
Kim, you're looking at me like you have to apologize to me. You know I don't give a sweet fuck. It's the crazies that you have to worry about.
Yes. Well, some guy did a song.
It's great paint.
Liv and I were in Manhattan in front of a museum, and some guy came running up to me, and he really wanted to have a confrontation, and I just was like, oh,
sorry about that, Kim.
Sorry about that. I didn't, you know, I was like,
Kim, I didn't know it was you. I didn't know it was you. I backed off after I knew it was you.
Kind of kept pulling you back. You know, don't listen to him.
Don't they say the animals are like on their way out anyway? So they kind of. Yeah.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Is that their excuse?
That's the statement where it is, you know, animals also.
And next on the agenda.
Yeah.
So can you explain to me this whole thing with your dog, with his fascination with buttholes and poop?
I can't explain it, Joe. The only thing I can explain, Bo is of the perfect.
So Bo is Chris's and my Frenchie, the one that we bought together as a gay couple. And
they treated you for this.
And so
we have
joint ownership of this Frenchie, except for the bills, which all go to Chris. Yeah.
And the poop picking up.
Yeah. I just like to hang out with him and like avoid him when he's being annoying.
So he's right at the right level, right?
Yeah, I'm more of like the grandfather, and Chris is more like the actual parent for both.
I can't explain. I don't. That's like the topic I brought up a few weeks ago about dogs and what goes through their mind in determining where they poop.
Right.
I don't. I know there's a scent that dogs excrete from that part of their body.
The butthole.
And Bo just seems to like
attract
check out
to the buttholes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and he's of the perfect height.
It's fine dining.
Of most dogs, where. He can just go in without any effort. So, why does he do it? Because he can.
Why does the dog lick his balls? Because he can. There you go.
Exactly.
So there it is.
Is that a gender thing? Is it, you know, do they know? Do they sound?
No, he smells everything. Oh, no.
Maybe is he genetically programmed to try to determine if it's a female or female?
Yeah. I don't know. Is that? I'll have to do some research. Is that why they sniff butts?
I think just sniffing in general is a dog's way of learning.
Maybe he puts his nose right in Bella's ass.
And
then Bella pooped, and he went right over the poop. He put his nose right in it.
He learned a lot then.
But he sniffs Bella multiple times throughout the day. So I would think that if you sniff him once. You don't have to sniff them again.
Is Bella your other pooch?
Yeah.
Yes. Is that pooch a Frenchie also?
No, that's a mutt.
A mutt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't understand it. Maybe if someone is listening and watching that no pets better than us, they can explain why dogs smell each other, what they get from that excretion.
Okay, so there we go. Chris, you had, we're going to go to one of Kim's topics here. I'm going to go to the second page here. You had dinner at Short and Maid, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, we had dinner last night, which was very unusual because we never go out on Saturday night, but we were able to last night. And we had their amazing Cape Cod sea scallops cooked on their wood fire over there, and it just fantastic. Ooh. And a beautiful brown butter sauce. Oh. And then roasted potatoes, and then they get all their winter vegetables from Aprilia Farm.
Vegetables.
From Aprilia Farm. And so it was roasted cabbage, but we met the sweetest bartender. Her name is Bethany, and she's so down to earth, you would love her.
She doesn't shake the thing like, I'm making the world's most famous cocktail.
No, she's so down to earth, very knowledgeable, and we had this amazing drink. I like Aperol spritzers.
Oh, yeah.
And Aperol is, you know, like a wine-based aperitif. And they have 10,000 times even better than Aperol is Cappelletti.
Oh, I've tried that.
Have you ever tried Cappelletti?
So Kate is a huge Aperol Spritz person. And Charlene as well.
Oh,
so they're going to have to go there and try the Cappelletti.
Cappelletti Spritz. It is beyond delicious. It's a little drier, very rich in flavor. You know, I tried to Google to find out what the ingredients were, but all those fortified wines, very secretive. It's very, very, but it comes from a little area of Italy. It's still handmade, homemade in this little town, and it gets its beautiful, it's a deeper red, and it gets its red from natural carmine coloring. So,
What's carmine?
Carmine is a beautiful red. It's like if you have a colored pencil called carmine, it's red with a little bit of coral.
Oh, interesting.
So,
Carmine was in Welcome Back, Kotter.
Laverne and Shirley.
Laverne and Shirley.
Carmine Ragusa.
Nice work, Pat.
Jeez, Pat, nice.
Pat, do we have any comments? Because I see people coming through.
Yes, and I'm glad that you, and I don't mean to take the attention away from Carmine, Paul Morrison has a TV hint. Do not sniff your fingers while talking about dog poo. I don't know. Somebody must have been doing that.
Well, because I picked up my poop this morning, I wanted to make sure that my finger didn't go through the poop bag.
And Ralph says, Ralph is observing for us. He's making observations. Now that I watch from this side, I really believe that Chris has some sick poop fetish. And Caitlin says, here we go, opening it up to people to tell Chris how much of a horrible dog owner he is.
That I could give a rat's ass. You can tell me how great I am. You can tell me how poor of a dog owner I am, but I don't give a shit about you.
Some people you can't criticize because they get very sensitive and then they freak out. Yeah. Chris is not one of those people.
Sorry. Yeah. Brenda Grimes Davis says that her boy cooks there. I'm sure she means Short and Main.
Yes, she gave the thumbs up to Short and Main, so I'm guessing that's what she means.
Her son cooks there?
Said my boy.
Oh. I didn't know that Brenda Grimes Davis had a child other than the world famous Kylie Davis.
Which son? What's her son's name? Well, anyway.
Well, she'll chime in.
It'll come along.
Chef Davis.
Well, we love watching the chefs there. They do a phenomenal job.
I like their kitchen is open too.
Yes.
So there's that.
So
all
right. Great dinner.
Chris Massave came in.
They did. Actually, to Brendan's.
To Brendan's place.
I think so.
So
Okay,
wait a second. I'll let you finish up here. But did you have MassSafe come through and do an evaluation
of
your house?
But it was like 10 years ago. It was really a long time ago.
So when I moved into, Kate and I bought our house, and we had them come in, and they did a tremendous amount of updates to our house. And for a lot of the stuff was no cost, and some of it was like you pay 10% of the upgrade. Have you guys have an apartment, but have you done it in...
In New York, we did it a long time ago.
It might be worthwhile to redo it. So Brendan did it. How was his experience?
So Brendan just moved. Unfortunately, the unit he moved into has electric heat, so he's been getting a couple bills that have been through the roof. So we call MassSave to come in and offer up their suggestions. And it's a great program, regardless of how old your house is. Give them a call. It's a free service. They'll come in. They'll do an assessment on anything and everything. Your insulation, your windows. I mean, this guy who came in was unbelievable. He had all kinds of tools. He was measuring just how much heat he was losing from his walls, from his windows. He was able to, at the end of the analysis, he had suggested that Brendan get one of the wall units that Joe has, the Mitsubishi Minis,
air handlers,
the air handlers that you put up on the wall. And he was able to tell us exactly how much he would save on his bill on an annual basis.
When you said that he had a tool that measures from the the heat from the wall to there, what possibly could he offer? You know, if he says
insulation.
You're losing
insulation.
Yeah, but there's not just that. So there are around here wall outlets.
Yeah, wall.
Wherever
outlets,
there are gaps and seams and places where there isn't insulation. They do a thermo test on where where cold air is rushing through. They one of the worst losses in a house is recessed lighting, where the cans are. Every can, if there's not insulation over that, it's like a hole this big that may as well be in the side of your house, just cold air rushing through. So they have, they'll come in and put things like little domes, insulated domes over the area where those lights are.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm going to say something else because I know a lot about this because I did a ton
we've done so
much research on it. The money that it comes to pay for these programs, do you know where it comes from? Because I can tell you.
Please do.
Kim can tell you because she's heard me say pound the table on this a million years. The same pool of money that pays for all the solar incentives. There's a line item on everybody's national grid bill. It's called the energy efficiency charge. The energy efficiency charge gets put into a pot. And what it is that money gets dispersed because there's been mandates from the state level saying we want to have this percentage of our energy produced in Massachusetts be renewable energy. Mm-hmm. So they have incentives for, so the money gets collected from everybody. The people that don't use solar, if solar makes sense for them, and insulate their homes properly, put the right kind of windows in their home. The money is there for you to use for basically free because the state wants to get there. Everybody pays in. The only people that make out with it are the ones that actually pick up the phone and make the phone calls and call Cazal Solar call to get your house insulated through the program, and it costs nothing.
Yeah, and they'll put new light bulbs in for you if you have old light bulbs. What are they? The new LED
light bulbs,
the shower heads. Have an old shower head that's pumping out too much water, they'll put in a low pressure.
Did you notice shower head? If the light, because when we had it done, they put in those blue white lights, and we just took them all out.
Those are ugly.
Have they changed the LED lights to have more like incandescent color?
I think so. Yeah. I think so. Yeah. Brendan didn't need any of those. He already had the LEDs. Yeah. But they stay, I think, current because I think they know that people don't like those
blue ones.
Those are ugly.
Yeah. I think they'll give you options. But one of the big things that they'll give you, they would power strips.
Yeah, you have one over there.
Yeah.
They That's left one of two that power strips. That if you went to Best Buy, probably cost $25. I mean, they're good quality power strips.
It costs zero.
Yeah, it costs zero.
There is a negative side to it, though. Curtailing on the peak, there's a duck curve where from like 12 to 4, we're all consuming energy and we're at peak demand. And where the utility company loves Mass Save, they can tie into your system if you sign up for this and kind of turn it off and cycle it. So you're sacrificing comfort by doing this in some way.
Turn off.
Really cares because you are saving a lot of money.
Turn what off?
Turn off, say, your air handler, or they can tie into that system with their controls that they're putting in to circulate their, you know, what energy they can kind of reduce, because when they hit peak demand, they're paying a lot more to supply us with that energy.
Mine doesn't have any kind of, it's just a...
They can turn off or cycle based off of what they've done inside.
Take control over of your system?
They can reduce your consumption.
We'll have to look into that.
Yeah.
Big brother.
It's called curtailing. Yeah.
Curtailing.
Mr. Town, if you are, if you're
he's
thinking
on
about
board
it,
here.
If you do the, I know, I see, if you are thinking about it, and you did, all you have to do is make the phone call, and they'll come out. So all the people that I spoke to before I got my solar, So what happens is, so Cazal or some of these other companies, they'll come out, they'll analyze your roof, they'll measure it, they'll measure the angle is to the sun, and the pitch and the trees around you are not a lack of trees, and they'll give you an estimation of what that system will produce on an annual basis. Every person I spoke to, what they gave for an estimate before you even sign any paperwork, they outperformed. So you pretty much, you will have a really accurate number of what everything's going to cost
and what you're
going to save. And you're going to end up saving if you have the right setup. So
interesting.
Yeah.
If you have electric heat.
If you have electric heat,
right,
for sure, yeah.
unfortunately, we have oil, and our house was built in 1851. So
yeah. But did you do the insulation?
We did insulation when we first moved in. Oh, right. We insulated
our roof. So what was nice about this, just my last comment, is they talked about the unit that would go into his house. They found $1,000 rebate on the unit that Brendan might end up purchasing.
Wow.
And then through MassSave, there's a 0% loan to pay for the
insulation.
The unit itself. So there, the benefits are endless. So again,
when you
make the call.
You know what I love about my air handler thing? I have an LG one that I can turn it on and off from my phone.
You told us that because Kate... That helps you control, you know.
Kate would actually use it less than me.
Kate, the app or the unit.
No, actually the heat.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's.
How about the AC?
She doesn't like to be hot. What?
How about the AC? She doesn't like to be hot.
She doesn't. She likes to be cool when she sleeps. I like to be warm when I sleep. Mm. So the when we come back from.
Yeah,
that would drive me nuts. Yeah. So when we go away on trips, we keep the heat on 50 in the house, just to for the pipes.
Yeah,
and when I'm at the airport, I just hit the heat air handlers,
when it goes on.
So nice and warm when you get into the house.
Nice.
And then do you let your, because our plumbing is so old, like we have plumbing on the outside walls, I think you can't have that anymore. But if we go away, or what if it's going to be super, super cold, we just let it drip a little bit all night long, a teeny tiny drip.
The water?
Yeah.
Do you know how much water you're using doing that?
It's not worth it.
I'm not saying I wouldn't do it. I absolutely agree with you that it's worth it because the cost of frozen pipes
is outrageous, bananas.
Right. Yeah.
Joey Foot.
He keeps asking about Wendy's. I don't know where the Wendy's is going. I'm sorry.
Please come back to Wendy's.
Yeah. I don't think any of us have heard anything on that.
Yeah, not exactly where it's going, no.
We don't want a Wendy's. We have all these wonderful homemade cooking places here.
They don't have the Beyond Burger, so why do we want Wendy's?
I guess you could put Five Guys, but would you consider Five Guys fast food?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so Five Guys would be my number around here, what we have around here, because we don't have In-N-Out.
Didn't they go
Actually, Tasty Burger. Do you consider that Tasty Burger? Tasty Burger is not because they don't have a takeout window. Right? So I would say Five Guys would be my favorite takeout one. And Wendy's would be a distant second. And after that, I don't really like
it. Is Five Guys still up there?
No,
at the
it's been gone.
They went out of business there.
Yeah. But they
moved from the lease was up and they moved.
Yeah.
Wendy's Frosty is
very good.
The commercials are.
Well, they weren't making enough money.
Seeing the meat of Wendy's actually quite appealing on TV.
But they may, if they were there now, it may be a different situation. I mean, that whole area now is completely different than when they were there. Now there's a lot more activity with home goods.
I wish there was a cha-cha chicken around here.
Cha-cha?
Cha-cha chicken.
What is that?
Never heard of it. Cha-cha.
In California.
Oh, I haven't heard of that one.
It's coming.
It's fried chicken.
Oh.
I know that there are Starbucks people, but I wish that I'm not a fan of Starbucks coffee.
Neither is Liv. She doesn't like it at all.
I'm surprised that Liv doesn't like it. She seems like she would be.
She'd rather have a good old Dunkin' Donuts coffee than a Starbucks.
I don't like Dunkin's.
She actually hates Starbucks. She will never go with me to one if we're on the highway. Yeah.
It's interesting.
She'd be like,
yeah.
She doesn't think they clean their coffee machines enough.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yikes.
That's too bitter. Funny.
So there's that. There is a surge in spiked seltzer.
Yeah. Yeah.
We talked about this though, didn't we?
I don't know, did we?
That kind of, but
are we talking about the Bud Light seltzer or whatever it is?
That's why it came up because Connor and I were at Gloucester Crossing yesterday and we bought some Bud Light Lime seltzer. It just came out in January.
Bud Light Friday.
Can you say what it is?
It was a variety pack.
Bud Light Lime Seltzer, so it's beer with seltzer.
So there's all these
White Claw,
bubbly,
Truly,
White Claw. Well,
sorry,
everyone else in the world that goes to a rest bars knows what these things are,
sorry.
And that's okay. That's totally fine. But the every beer company now
yeah.
is making yeah. a spiked
it's,
seltzer.
It's crazy. And the only reason I brought it up is because we bought some Bud Light Lime Seltzer, and they have a strawberry that I really
that you liked.
And it wasn't
tried
too
the
sweet.
Mango. No, that's what I liked
that's the
about
thing.
It.
That's the
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, and Connor had the mango, which he liked. I tried his mango. He tried my strawberry. I still like strawberry
is
better.
Is it like much less alcohol?
No, it's 5%. It's okay. 90 calories.
It's very. It's less. Yeah, it's not.
It's his age. You know, it's younger people who are watching their weight, watching their sugar intake. That because the so what was interesting is White Claw is the number one seltzer. And they had a 250% increase in sales in 2019, 1.5 billion in sales.
Yeah,
1.5 billion
for a seltzer that came
for
out.
A seltzer.
How long ago did that start out? Like how what was it, just a couple years ago jumped.
Yeah. Yeah, I think maybe the first seltzer came out. I mean, it started with like Mike's hard lemonade, but again, a lot of sugar.
What about Zima?
Where did Zima fit in on all?
Zima. I
yeah,
remember
Zima.
Zima
might have more sweet. But here's the thing about Zima? It. Yeah. All these huge liquor things that are, have that take Zima. Off, they all are appealing, which is kind of funny because men are drinking these Trulies and stuff, but exactly. the appealing to low-calorie drinks.
Yeah.
So, like Bethany Frankel from the, was it Desperate Housewives or something?
Mm-hmm.
Or I forget what, it's not Desperate Housewives. It's Housewives of Manhattan or something
whatever,
like that.
Yeah.
Of East Gloucester.
But they she came out with that skinny girl margarita.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And she's like, I'm going to exaggerate and say like a billionaire from sales of this. And it was skinny girl. So women, you know how a lot of women drink wine?
Yeah.
You know, they come home and they unwind with a glass of wine. These skinny girl margaritas took off, and it's really, and the these spiked seltzers are appealing because they're low calorie,
okay,
and light.
And I think they're just a step away from a bottle of water that a lot of people like to have.
Yeah,
It's that step.
Well,
away
if you think
that.
About what people are drinking. Even
Tito's
at our age,
soda.
Tito's and soda.
Because it's low calorie.
Right. Or Stoli raspberry with soda.
Mm-hmm.
And one would argue that like Stoli ras and soda would have more sugar than a seltzer. And if they're decent tasting in the summer, I mean, you don't get bloated sitting on the beach nice and cold. I'm gonna be digging in for a seltzer.
So I think this is what we should do. I think that we should go to the liquor store and buy singles.
Of everyone, I like that,
and we'll do a taste. We'll do a taste test.
I like that.
No, but we should
wine
do that.
Taste test.
It'd be absolutely
a 9 a.m. taste test.
Great idea.
Yeah, same flavor. We have to find like the same flavor though.
Yeah.
Like a
mango,
like a strawberry.
Sweetness would be a factor for me.
I agree.
I can't drink anything that is too sweet for more than one or two.
Sweetness and artificial sweetening taste, like that
aspartame
second taste. That's like, you know what?
Are most of these beverages sweetened with sugar? Like,
good question. I don't know.
Granulated sugar? Or
it says
natural flavors, which is sugar. Sugar's
natural. Who knows, right?
Stevia is natural. Yeah.
But,
you know, there's a lot of natural flavors.
Last comment on that. White Claw was saying that this year, 2020, it's possible that their seltzers outsell Budweiser.
That's insane.
Budweiser.
That's
so
insane.
The king of beers.
Wow. Right.
Do you
that
think we'd
insane.
Ever come to a time where...
Well, they said Budweiser, but they didn't say Bud Light.
They didn't say Bud Light.
Because Bud Light has
a good following.
I think people drink a lot.
I'm watching more people drink Ultra now. And
Ultra, yeah.
We just had the party at our house, and believe it or not, you know, you always say to somebody, tell me what you're drinking. So I can have it there for you, and I couldn't believe people are saying.
Well,
make sure you have some Ultra.
And the young adults weren't there.
Caitlin, I see what you're writing, Caitlin. Caitlin has had inappropriate things. Kate also mentions that Natty Light has a seltzer.
You know,
but she says the natural flavors come from beaver butts. That's Caitlin.
Well, I'll ask Bo. Maybe that's why Bo is sniffing. Yeah.
Maybe
He's looking for that next flavor.
See Kate. I think here's the thing. Kate doesn't want to come on the podcast. She listens and she's and she always has great contributions. Maybe she could do like Kim and Pat do, and just
behind
she doesn't have to be on camera, but she could be behind the scenes.
Or from the comfort of her own home.
Well, she is.
She's
contributing
right now.
I like it.
I'd love to see some local
brews come out for seltzer, because every large kind of industrial or however corporate brew house like Sam Adams has it. They own Truly.
Yeah. Right. Oh, Sam Adams owns Truly?
Yeah.
Wow, Boston based.
Oh, and speaking of that, thank you, Connor. So Truly changed their flavors in October, getting to your flavor comment. And they have seen 199% increase in sales month over month since then.
Since they changed it.
Wow. So what did they change it from to, do we know?
I don't know the details. I don't know if they completely changed their flavors formula. Or, you know, mango, they tweaked their right. mango. I think it might have been a little of both.
Does the Cape Ann Brew Pub have one, or does...
I don't think so.
Actually, now that you say that, I think they said they were going to be coming out with one.
Oh, coming out with one. I saw cans.
And the new Essex, the place in Essex, which was packed the other day. It's on a Saturday. I drove by at like 4 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And like every parking lot in the area was filled up because people were coming in.
Yeah, it's packed. You know what? And that's a great point, because they got their liquor license at Cape Ann Brewing, because I think that they realized that there are, like, my wife, the food there is outstanding.
Yeah.
But my wife has it in her head. She's like, I don't want to go there because I can't get a drink.
Right.
And I don't, she doesn't, she's not necessarily a craft beer person. So
I mean,
now
once
you,
in a while I like
So now you can go there, right?
Yeah.
So, but now if, so on top of having their liquor license, if having a spiked seltzer that is appealing, that's low calorie alternative, might really pack people in.
Also, just so people know, at Cape Ann Brew Pub, you can get little mini glasses of beer. You don't have to get a full glass. That's they have point. These nice little mini glasses.
Yeah, a little flight. You can get the flight. Tastings,
You can taste. And most bars will let you taste, like Cape Ann Brewing will let you taste.
Mm-hmm. Before you try it. Before you have to commit so much. I tried, it's not going to be happening, actually. They're out of business, so I may have to go to one of the local liquor stores and see if I can scoop up as many as I can. That Agape. Breakfast in a can. It was a chocolate milk oatmeal stout. I had one can
awful.
Of it.
Yeah.
One can of it. It was so
good.
Amazing. Put it in the microwave? Should you heat it up?
Yeah.
No. I drank it last night watching the Celtics game. It was fantastic. Nice.
Yeah. As I was cooking your brisket. I hope you were warm.
That's such a prick. So there's that. All right, Kim, why don't you give us your Cape Ann Wildlife Outlet update?
So a very wonderful, amazing thing is right now at Niles Pond, there's a black crowned night heron, which is a...
My favorite.
Corky pants. They were driven from this area a long time ago because of their quirky. And people used to shoot them out of trees.
Because of the noise?
Yeah, because of the noise.
Oh, that's
but
funny.
People are more tolerant about that now. But there's a juvenile one there, and it's not so unusual when there's some open water, which we have had some open water. So I don't know where he's going to go now that we don't have open water, because everything's freezing up again. So
they have nests on 10-pound Island.
10-pound Island.
And I tend to see them at the dock here. When it's foggy, early in the morning, down low, low pilings.
They sleep a lot during the day, and they're nocturnal fishers, and so they're still fishing. They're still hunting usually early in the morning. Mm.
And these are heron.
They're black crowned. No, go ahead.
Black crowned night herons. I think they're the coolest bird that we see around here. They're kind of squat.
Short and stocky.
Short and stocky, long yellow spindly legs.
Okay.
With like talons that go out like this. Would you call those talons?
Yeah.
And then they have a thing, a dollop of a plume that kind of just goes back, almost like it's a mullet, and has a, is it a yellow beak?
Yellowish. Yeah.
And they're white here, but they have blue, like slate blue wings.
And then they're little black crowns. That's
where black crown,
the
Because in the river, I would see what I would call herons.
Yeah.
Different, so, totally. But these are different.
Related, but if you saw the great blue ones,
You would
those
know.
Are much bigger.
You would, okay.
Yeah, those, they have a great blue hand. It's a wingspan like this big.
These are like this.
Pterodactyls. But that's their size?
Yeah, they're like this.
Oh, that's
so
it.
They do,
without the legs.
They don't travel in packs, but they do flock together. And so this past year, I saw the most I've ever seen at Niles Pond. There were about 20 in a tree at one time.
Oh, wow.
So that's the most I've ever seen. They disperse during when they're breeding. So this was early spring. Then they disperse during breeding season, and then they migrate south, typically. So it's unusual to have them here in on our shores at this time of year. But since the water is open over there at Niles Pond, and there's a couple other open areas, they can still fish.
And so, how do they breed?
How do they breed?
Yeah.
Like all birds do.
They do.
Yes.
Cloaca. They slick back their hair.
They rub the cloaca.
They hate babies.
They rub the cloaca.
Pretty much.
They scissor.
Well, like most birds, the male jumps on top of the female.
Oh, yeah,
baby.
There we go.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
He doesn't sniff his butt, her butt first?
Well, they do that. Like, piping plovers do that.
Go ahead. Keep going.
He's got his earmuffs on.
This is the birds and the bees.
The piping plover female sniffs the male's butt. Right.
They do that.
Like, he'll build a little nest scrape. With piping plovers, he'll build a little nest scrape. She'll come running over. She'll examine the nest scrape. And he'll try to throw a few more little pebbles into it. Then she'll sniff his cloaca. And then if she's in the mood, then they'll mate.
That's interesting.
And then they'll do that three or four times throughout the egg laying season. So it's not like they mate once and then she lays all the eggs. She'll lay an egg. And then 2 days later, she'll lay another egg, and 2 days later, another egg, and 2 days later, until she has four. And during that time, they mate often during that
so
time.
So it's not like a 9-month pregnancy?
No, it's really only like 24 days. So, yeah.
Jeez.
So, but then what happens is...
Thank God humans
this is one reason why they're so vulnerable is because the egg is left unguarded. I mean, they're around, but they don't start sitting on the eggs until all four are laid because they're precocial, which means that the minute they hatch, they start running around. And so she has to sit on the eggs all at once and warm them up all at the same time so they're all born within, 24-hour period.
So they can manage all four
once they're
born.
Right. And that's why they lose so many because they are so active. But anyway, so
that's
the black-crowned night heron.
Yeah, sorry.
I see Joe is falling asleep over there.
No,
he's looking at his phone.
No, just business. I got to make sure.
Black-crowned night herons. There's a lot of surf scotters on the shore right now. I think that's what you saw, the black and white.
What did you think it was?
A surf scotter. They used to be called skunk heads, but then that was deemed politically incorrect. So now they're
insulting to the skunks, or
exactly. No, you hurt their feelings.
So now they're called surf scotters, but they there was a juvenile one around that was pretty sick, I think there's a couple of flocks. There's also brant geese around right now, and ring-tailed ducks. Those are beautiful. And then the owl update is the snowy owls and the short-eared owls are still at Parker River. There's a couple of them. I'm mostly seeing the male short-eared owl zooming around. And then the snowy owl I just filmed yesterday morning. So they're all still around up there, attracting great numbers of people. Mm. Like you'll drive down there at 6:30, 6:45 in the morning, the sun's not even up, and there's 150 photographers down at the far end.
I don't know if I've seen a species that generates so much interest with people.
As the owls, yeah.
Yeah, these things.
Yeah, the owls. They're just so... They're so...
Owls
they're just
and
so
eagles.
Beautiful.
Who?
Owls.
Oops.
Owls.
Sure. Good one, got it. Good owls. Contribution.
Yeah.
Can we talk about... You were over when I presented Connor with a chair that he needed to build.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, Connor, here, can you
this
can
is
you
pro- this
build?
Is unbelievable.
Charlene bought some chairs for the kitchen table that the legs, we need to put the legs on the actual chair.
Right.
So I gave it to him, and you think I was giving him a 3 billion piece puzzle to figure out.
So did you put it together?
He watched someone else put it together.
He watched his grandfather, no. who has carpal tunnel, he watched his grandfather put the chair together.
But the funniest part of it all was, so that it has this a special kind of
Allen wrench or
the bolts, the nuts that they use. The bolts had a special pattern. So Chris had a cordless drill that had a bit in it. And he handed it to Connor to change out the bit, and Connor could not figure out how to get the bit.
I'm sorry for laughing.
We were laughing.
It was like, but you know how like we're getting older right now, and there are certain things that my daughters do or talk about that I cannot relate to at all, especially like TikTok. This app that they are obsessed with right now. And they'll sit there and look at it and laugh and laugh and laugh, and it seems like the dumbest thing in the world, which is like, this has been the absolute time where I would say, I know that I've become an old person. Because I cannot identify with this TikTok
all. What do you think about TikTok? Because it's owned by a Chinese company. And I feel like it's a big Chinese company collecting all that data.
Trump. Is there Russians involved too?
Tariffs?
No, I don't care.
Well, that was the thing with the Snapchat filter too. There was a filter that made you look old as a kid. And Russia was taking that data. It was a Russian app. And they were taking all facial recognition. It was this huge thing. They took it off immediately when they found out. You never know what TikTok's doing.
Right. You don't.
The next thing.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I'd get them off of TikTok, Joe.
Good luck. Good luck.
Didn't Connor show you a couple other apps yesterday?
No. What apps?
No?
What apps? Did you show
dating
me
apps?
Oh yeah. We were at breakfast and Connor was going. He was swiping left and right like I thought his finger was gonna fall off. He was going. He went up to in fairness, because I've really only seen those apps. Eric and Mike Coderre were obsessed with those apps when they were single, I think. And they were just, but I, to fairness to...
Jimmy knows about him.
To Connor. Like, no, everything was to the left. Very rare to the right. Very rare to the right.
Vicky, I don't know.
Yeah?
I don't know. It's funny. In Washington, D.C., there's a lot more users signed up for it. Really? Boston's less so. There's a lot of New Hampshire. You can see kind of where they're located.
This is what I want to know. Because there's a bunch of different ones that I've heard of. Mm-hmm. But I think that they have different kind of neat niches, right? Okay, so I want you to pick five and tell me what the demograph of the type of user is looking for using that particular one. So there's one called Fish in the Sea or something?
Fish in the Sea. So see, yeah, I haven't, like eHarmony Match, probably Fish in the Sea, probably for, I'd say 30 plus.
eHarmony?
All those. I don't even know if it has an app.
For older people.
Okay.
But younger-wise, what I'm more familiar with is like Bumble, Tinder, both very similar.
Bumble and Tinder, that's for the ones that are really looking for a short-term hookup, right?
Sort of. Bumble's moved away from that. Actually, Tinder seems to be like everyone's deleting that. Everyone's moving towards Bumble.
So if you're on Tinder, are you considered dirty?
You're just considered not, the fad, or you're not keeping up with the times.
Oh, okay.
Move to Bumble. Or
I think
now.
This subject's bringing on board a lot of new viewers, so keep going.
That's awesome. And then Hinge as well.
Wait. You didn't. So I want you to identify. So Bumble is the new hip app for dating for young people, super young people?
Bumble and Hinge, both very new and hip.
And what are some of the features that Hinge or Bumble have that the other ones don't have?
So Hinge would have a more comprehensive profile by yourself. So you can see, you have to pick three questions and you answer based off of like, three truths and a lie, or what do you expect on your first date? Like different things where it's very comprehensive, whereas Bumble, it's just your face and kind of like you're basically aesthetics and everything there. So it's more of, maybe meeting up for a few times. I don't know. See how it happens.
How much time?
Yeah, you know, you look for love, so it's tough.
But he was telling us that some of these apps you can actually pay more money.
Yeah, I'm on a free trial right now. So
how does that work?
So it's fun.
A free trial, so it's Boost, so you get more visibility.
More visibility, and you can see everyone who likes you, so you don't have to take the time to swipe right and left, and you know, be disappointed. You see exactly what you're getting yourself into when you open up the app. And they have to swipe right.
So do you feel that you're more motivated to go to the gym because you're on these apps and like you know your physical appearance is going to be based on 90% of why a girl's swiping left or right?
Yes, 110%.
So you're at the gym, you're pumping up reps, and you're like, I need that fucking and Hinge app. I need better swipes.
Sipping on his White Claw.
Yep, and getting that.
Ordering Skinny Girl in the mail.
That's why they call him the Silent Assassin. He's five steps ahead. He's playing playing chess while all the other guys are playing checkers.
My daughter's dating somebody that she met on an app.
Really?
She's probably going to fucking kill you for saying that.
No, she told me. She doesn't.
She told you she probably doesn't want it out there.
Yeah. She's open about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's common these days.
He's super, super.
Like meeting someone at a bar.
Yeah. Her and 3 billion other people.
All right, so what is the most...
I've been with her.
Well, she does. Isn't it interesting?
You help her?
So that was like, it was so interesting. So we were at breakfast yesterday, and it was so interesting watching him swipe through. And there really was nothing other than the picture that we were looking at. Right. We weren't reading any bios on how they're so educated or anything else. It was all... And there was some girls like seem like they don't try at all. Yeah. They're just like no makeup.
They don't know how to sell themselves.
They're like, really? And I'm like...
Wow. But that's good. That's worst case scenario.
This is
the worst they can look.
I wouldn't be so sure about that.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe.
Yeah. No. But Connor, it was interesting. He bought a Boost as we were sitting there for breakfast on showing the income level of each of these girls. And I'm like, hats off. I mean, he knows how to pick them based on
there are a lot of
what their net worth is.
It is a little odd where you have so many filters that you can put in.
Yeah.
Can you put? Is there anything worth?
20 filters.
I wonder who owns that. That's a different app. Because that's a lot of information people are giving away.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but you know what? People will do crazy things for sex.
eHarmony and Match actually own Tinder.
For relationships, Joe.
Yeah.
For relationships, not sex. This is all about relationships.
Of course.
You can find love on the island.
I think people do want to find relationships on these. I really do.
Does anyone here watch Love Island?
There's a little of everything.
Watch
Love Island?
Connor is putting a promo out there for Love Island.
Okay.
Connor, it's every day. You don't have to wait.
1 minute.
For like a week.
1 minute.
What minutes every day? Or is it? Do they stream and you just kind of see what's happening in the house?
Yeah, TV Mucho. It's a British television app where you're allowed to stream an hour a day. Not, you know, it's good and functional. But Love Island itself, you have like 10 people, 5 girls, 5 guys, and they just get thrown onto an island. This episode or this series on Cape Town, Africa. So it gets you kind of in the mood of like, oh, you want to find love on an island. We're here in Gloucester on, you know, an island.
So on an also, island, right.
Yeah, so it's very...
So they are often referencing how popular Love Island is. I listened to a couple of Irish podcasts, and they often are mentioning how popular that show
there
is.
There's two Irishmen on there, Connor and Connor. So
that's what they're talking about.
That is funny. So he's trying to find love on the island, but yet he goes to Middleton last night with his buddies.
There's a lot of young...
You got to find love here, you got to stay here.
There's a lot of activities. You play ping pong, you know, it's everything. You want to be in the...
Opti-Golf. You went to Opti-Golf in Middleton.
What's Opti-Golf?
On 114, there's a place called Opti-Golf, and it has the big bay set up where you can play golf through a simulator.
Oh, mm-hmm. It's indoors?
Obviously. It's indoors.
Yeah, because it was cold last
night. It's called the clubhouse.
Yeah, it's called the clubhouse. But it's evolved... over the years, where it was exclusively golf related. Now you go there, you can play ping pong, pool, they have a full fledged bar.
Wow.
And you meet other young people there.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to be on the apps.
Right. Huh. You can meet them in person.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Fantastic.
That's nice.
And when you do, you
change. A lot of work, that whole meeting them in person.
Kind of quick review on, he went to Teresa's last night. I don't know if you.
I don't even know what Teresa's is.
Right across from Richardson Theory.
Really?
Yeah, there's a plaza that they built a number of years ago, and Teresa's is in their Italian restaurant. It's very good.
Yeah, I had a salad with Kate
Ott lives right there.
Warm vegetables on it, which was nice.
What, did you have salad with warm vegetables?
Yeah, which is, you know, I like a warm salad. Yeah. It's definitely something I look
for. So we're trying to figure out, okay, so this is something we're trying to do. We're trying to figure out a real deal, like a liquor distributor that wants to put a bunch of samples of bourbon and do it at a place where there's a cigar bar that we can smoke cigars, live stream, and sample bourbons.
Yeah.
And I put you on the case, but I haven't heard anything. I know you've been busy with the move.
Well, no, but the issue is that a lot of these, the cigar place that I had in mind doesn't have a liquor license. So you got to be careful bringing liquor into that establishment.
Oh, I see.
So to get cigars and alcohol at the same time, I think is going to be
tough. Can I ask you a question? Does that cigar place, we don't have to name it,
yeah,
do they, can you bring your own booze in there?
We have in the past.
Okay. Well, it's going to be live stream, so we couldn't, it's not legit, then we couldn't do
it. Yeah, that's right.
So we have to find out.
It's not legit. Right.
So we just have to do it at someone's house then, like we did before.
I think so.
But we can't smoke cigars in the house. I really want to get to the bar.
You know where we could go? I could contact Kevin Michaud. Kevin has a pool house that it's a bar. Connor, you've been there.
Yeah,
it's awesome. A bar. I think it has some heat in it.
Does he smoke in it?
And you can smoke in it.
All right, let's talk to Kevin Michaud.
I'll tell you.
Michaud, and we'll give him a free plug on the podcast.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Because
he's plugging all the time. I can't watch a television show without seeing Kevin and Jill Michaud.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the son. Who's the son?
Zach. Yeah. Zach, who works with him.
Michaud. Yeah, if we can smoke cigars in your pool house, we're all in.
Yeah. I don't think he's a viewer, but... Yeah. A listener, but we'll get him
once
on board.
He hears his name, he'll be intrigued enough to listen to
his new house.
Oh, Mick, Mick
smokes cigar. No, but he has the attack dogs.
Smoking room.
He has attack dogs. Can't do it. No attack dogs. All right, we are at an hour and 21 minutes, so we're gonna.
We didn't have Ralph to tell us to turn it down at 1 hour. Yeah. Yeah.
That's usually me when I go. That's it. An hour.
All right. So, anyways, Gloucester Cast 376. It's in the books. I have to find my thing. We got to go stop streaming right now. All right, we stop streaming right there.